listening to the U Urban Bible Study Weekly Leaders Training Podcast. The U curriculum is especially created by and for urban and multi-ethnic churches. This podcast is designed to help leaders lead a Bible study using Lifeway's U Urban Bible Study resources. Each week, we examine a biblical passage, review some questions teachers may face, and give a practical teaching tip. I'm Dr. Mark Cross, the general editor for the U Bible Study. And today I'm joined by our content editor, Natasha Menifee. Hello, Natasha.
Hello, Mark. Today we are in our third study for the fall edition, Speaking Truth Boldly, which is a very timely lesson for our society because we live in a society that is becoming increasingly secular, and they speak all kinds of things that are not necessarily always true. And so many people assume that the things that we define as wrong or sinful is based on that individual's own personal code of morals and ethics. So in other words, they have their own version of truth. But we know that as believers that that's not true, and we can't rationalize our sin. Because the reality is sin, and it brings consequences. God lets us know there are consequences. So today, Daniel's account of boldly confronting sin will emphasize that we have to speak truth, we have to speak it boldly, and that any sin is rebellion against God.
All right. So being a bold witness for God means sometimes speaking hard truth. All right. So here's our first. What do we want to know? What helps us to boldly witness for God? And so here's the first thing. Develop your testimony. Develop your testimony. Let's start in chapter 5 at verse number 13. Then Daniel was brought before the king. The king said to him, "Are you Daniel, the one of the Judean exiles that my predecessor, the king, brought from Judah? I've heard that you have a spirit of the gods in you, and that insight, intelligence, and extraordinary wisdom are found in you. Now the wise men and mediums were brought before me to read this inscription and make its interpretation known to me. But they could not give its interpretation. However, I have heard about you, that you can give interpretations and solve problems. Therefore, if you can read this inscription and give me its interpretation, you will be clothed with purple, have a gold chain around your neck, and have the third highest position in the kingdom." So here's our issue, that the king is troubled. A hand has appeared and written. This was one of the earliest tags on somebody's wall, huh? And so the hand of God had tagged the wall of the king with a phrase, "Meni, meni, tekel," parson. And so the king doesn't understand what this is. He's trying to find out. He has apparently called his other interpreters and none of them know. But Daniel has a testimony. He has a reputation that has gone out before him. And so your testimony will get you places. Come on. Your testimony will keep you from places. And your testimony will take you some places if you've got the right testimony. And so look at what the king already knew about Daniel. You're one of the exiles, but you have insight, intelligence, and extraordinary wisdom. And so this is the testimony that precedes Daniel to this new king's throne room. And so, you know, work on your testimony. This is what it's telling me. Before you can speak boldly the truth, people have to know that they can trust you with the truth. Mm-hmm. Come on. And that you're not just another voice out there whining and whistling on Twitter, or now it's called X, whatever, right? Yeah. So develop your testimony so that you can, it will take you places where you will be able to speak for God and speak the truth in the face of power. What are you seeing here, Natasha?
Yeah, I saw that his character was his testimony. And because his character preceded himself, the king knew that. And you said, you made a point about speaking the truth. His character allowed the truth to be heard and people could receive it because they knew the reputation that Daniel had. What stood out for me in this session when it said that the king said, "I've heard that you have a spirit of the gods, little g, in you." What truly was in Daniel was the spirit of the living God. And it was God's presence in Daniel that set him apart, his character. And I think that should be our testimony. That's the testimony we want to develop, is a God's spirit evident in our lives. Is it working in me? Is it working through me? Not only to set me apart, but enable me to speak those bold truths. You said we have to work on our character and develop our testimony that'll enable us to speak those bold truths and let it be received when God allows us to be positioned in certain places.
All right, so here's the second thought. Speak the truth. Speak the truth. Let's start at verse 17. Then Daniel answered the king, "You may keep your gifts and give your rewards to someone else. However, I will read the inscription for the king and make the interpretation known to him. But you, his successor, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, even though you knew all this. Instead, you have exalted yourself against the Lord of the heavens. The vessels from his house were brought to you, and you and your nobles, wives, and concubine drink from them. You praise the gods made of silver and gold, bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which do not see or hear or understand. But you have not glorified the God who holds your life breath in his hand and who controls the whole course of your life." And so keep this in mind. So the king now in chapter 5 is Belshazzar. The king in the earlier passages was Nebuchadnezzar. And so now the reign has changed. Nebuchadnezzar had an appointment with Daniel. Daniel had helped him to understand and bring interpretation to his dreams. And so Nebuchadnezzar then glorified the God of Daniel. But now Belshazzar is on the throne. And Belshazzar, you know, because he's there, thinks he is large and in charge. And look at what he's done. He's taken the sacred vessels from the temple. He he's drinking wine out of them with his nobles and wives and sisters on the side, his concubines, sisters on the side. And all of this rather and does not, Daniel says in the end of this, you do not glorify the God who holds your life breath. You glorify the gold and the bronze, the wood, these gods that can't see, hear, or understand, but you do not glorify the God who gives you the breath you're breathing and controls the entire course of your life. So Daniel's not taking any tea for the fever here, right? And it, one interesting thing to just note here too is that when you have to speak truth to power, it is more powerful when you don't take their stuff. So the king is offering Daniel in this earlier passage all of this stuff. I'm going to give you a purple robe. I'm going to give you a gold chain, and I'm going to put you in the third highest position in the kingdom. And Daniel says, keep your stuff. And so I just think about this. This would be some conversation for us, because could one of the reasons that Christianity is on a decline in America, could one of the reasons that the influence of the church, the respect for the church has fallen from the 70% to the low 30s, and respect for pastors has fallen from the high 70s. 78% is the usual confidence people have in pastors, and now it's the low 30s. Could that be because maybe too often we have seen too many pastors who only do the ministry when there's money attached to it? Come on now.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
This is a conversation to have in this class. So often, you know, if you can't pay me this honorarium, you can't do this for me, there are many pastors and preachers that won't do what they say God has called them to do unless there's a price to be paid. Come on. Unless I can get some money, I ain't going to do it. And I'm telling you, Daniel shows us that that is not God's way.
Right.
Come on. Yeah. Daniel says, keep your stuff because I'm here on kingdom business. And so he don't take no tea for the fever. When you keep taking people's stuff, you are going to modify your prophecy in order to placate those that you're talking to. Daniel says, keep your stuff, because I got some stuff to say, and you ain't going to want to give it to me after I get finished talking anyway. Come on, right? So that ought to be a conversation in the midst of this, because I think us as preachers have to do some things differently if we're going to regain our position of respect. Remember, this lesson started with a testimony. And if you don't have the testimony, then you can't really speak the truth to power. All right, what are you seeing here, Natasha?
I was writing down as you were talking, I was writing down the same things. We don't sugarcoat the word just for stuff or for popularity or for position. Daniel spoke truth. And he spoke, he knew the king's power. He knew the king's authority. He's been around for a while, but he did not allow that to keep him from speaking the truth of the supreme authority. He knew God was the supreme authority over the king that he was speaking to. And so he didn't let that stop him from speaking the hard truth. The verse that stood out to me, you emphasized it, that phrase, the God who holds your life breath. That sums it up. God is Lord of all. God is holding your breath, and he's letting him know you have not given reverence to that God, to the only true and living God. And so it was a hard truth. And sometimes we have to speak that. But his character from our previous session lets us know that he had the character to speak the truth, to speak it not in to tear down, but to give a warning, to let him know, don't repeat the mistake of the king before. So we have to sometimes give that hard truth. And his motivation was a pure motivation to give him the truth, to give him an opportunity to repent, to let him know about the true God who was giving him life and give him an opportunity to change. And he did not let anything stop him from speaking that truth.
All right. So here's the third thing. Be confident God's word is true. Be confident God's word is true. Let's start picking up at verse number 24. Therefore, he sent the hand, and this writing was inscribed. This is the writing that was inscribed. Mene, Mene, Tekel, and Parson. This is the interpretation of the message. Mene means that God has numbered the days of your kingdom and brought it to an end. Tekel means that you have been weighed on the balance and found deficient. Paris means that your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians. And so, what a message this is to give to a king, huh? So, but you would never give this message if you're not confident that this message is from God. He tells, look at the three things he tells the king. Your reign is coming to an end. You don't want to tell somebody that unless you got confidence that it's true. The second thing he said, you have been weighed in the balance and found deficient. You don't want to say that to a king unless you know that's true. You may say, and your kingdom is going to be divided into the hands of your enemies, the Medes and the Persians. You don't want to say that unless you have confidence that it's true. And so this is a challenge for all of us. Whenever you have to speak for God, right? You got to have your conviction. We saw that. Your conviction will help you to develop a testimony. And then once you have your testimony in place, you will be able to speak the truth and do it with confidence that God is going to do what God said he will do. We need more people who will speak God's truth with the same kind of confidence that Daniel shows. What do you see here, Natasha?
Confidence is the key. Daniel didn't waver. It was a hard truth, but he knew God's word to be true. And I think that is the challenge, as you said, for us as Christians today. We have to be confident that we know, that we know, that we know that God's word is true. There's so many truths that float around in our culture and our society today. Everything is, it's a relative truth. But as believers, we have to know that God's word is the absolute truth. It is the absolute sovereign truth, and to be strong in that. And when we waver and we teeter, it comes through and it'll damage and harden and be harsh against our testimony. And so, Daniel, he held true to what he knew to be true. He had a pattern. He had a reputation of standing on the truth of God's word. So therefore, he was confident. He knew God. He knew the God of truth. He was confident, and he could deliver that hard message to the king with confidence, knowing that it was true. He didn't question in the back of his mind, I think this is what the Lord is saying. No, this is what God is saying. And so I challenge us to have those conversations about being confident in the absolute truth of God's word. Doesn't mean we understand all parts of the Bible. That's why we study. That's why we come to Sunday school. We learn and we grow. But even the parts that you don't understand that you're still learning, ask yourself, do I believe it to be true, even if I don't have a full understanding of it just yet?
All right. All right. So this is a fantastic lesson. Very powerful. Very powerful. And so you're going to have a great time in your conversations with this particular lesson. But if you're a Bible study teacher, I want you to hold on just for a moment, because Natasha is going to give us a teaching tip for today. But I just want to remind everybody, get your copy of the You Bible Study. You can find it at you.lifeway.com. That's you.lifeway.com. It is our Urban Cultural Forward Bible Study. It comes in paper and digital formats. It has a personal study guide and a teacher guide in the back. It comes with daily devotional pages. And a beautiful leaders pack is also available to make your lessons even better. It aligns with our Bible Studies for Life student and kids curriculum. So there's something for everybody. Natasha, give us our teaching tip for today.
So before we teach this session on speaking truth boldly, let's think about some bold truth tellers in our own cultural history. Some such as Dr. King, Malcolm X, Fannie Lou Hamer, John Lewis. Look and examine what it was that enabled these people to speak truth to power, what motivated them, and then share that with learners in class, and then ask them to think about and identify someone who speaks truth boldly as well, and how we can find those kind of characteristics and develop those in our own lives.
All right. All right. So what a great study this is. I wish I could be in your classroom as you're having this conversation for this lesson. But friends, join us again for another You Bible Study podcast, because you never know where God will take you.